the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money. Money.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Backdoor Cover, covering week 6 of the NFL action. I am your host, smartest man alive, for taking the New York Giants money line, Keith Fleming. With me, as always, the gambling guru who says I got lucky, Alan. What's going on, Alan?
I mean, it was kind of lucky. But I mean, hell yeah, you get that sometimes.
Said I thought the Packers were trash.
Like, yeah, anytime you can get an outright that's more than a touchdown, hell yeah, man, take it.
Real quick before we get started, I know we want to go over your super contest. My man Tristan is still balling. Can we talk about him going 6-0 last week?
Yes, for anybody that's very interested, my son is actually winning the IBN Super Contest.
How old is he?
He's 5. Okay. He's 5. He turned 5 in May. He is 11-4 in the Super Contest in IBN, which is probably harder than what I'm doing because the one that I do is like the original one. Like you can pick whatever games you want. The Super Contest in IBN are 5 random games picked by Ronnie, and he picks them, and he's 11-4 since he's taken over. Matter of fact, if you want to hear something really funny, 3 of those 4 losses are my picks, actually. Because the first week I started 2-3, and I had let him pick on the side, and he went 5-0 that week, too. And I was like, as a joke, well, shit, since you went 5-0, I'll just let you take over the contest. It's a $100 contest, and I gave it to my 5-year-old, and he's winning. So, yeah, he went 6-0 last week. He had, let me run over the picks real quick so everybody can kind of chuckle with me, because it gets even better. So last week, his 5 picks from the contest were the Bengals plus 3.5, the Jets plus 3.5, the Cowboys plus 3.5, the Cardinals plus 5.5, the Bills at minus 14, and then he took the Raiders at plus 7.5, which I post the video every Thursday and Monday for the primetime games, and he has only lost one primetime game, and that was when he picked the Broncos, who just couldn't get right. But he's undefeated in those pretty much. And like I had my wife watch me ask him the games, and he legit picked the Cardinals, or no, he picked the Eagles at first, and then he thought about it, and he asked me again, and I told him the line. And he was like, no, I'll go Cardinals. And then he did the same with the Cowboys. He picked the Rams at first, and then he switched it to the Cowboys. Like, he literally, I think, might know what he's doing, which is very scary.
We've got a prodigy, man. I keep telling you on our hand. I'm jacked about it. I just hope he doesn't take my job before I'm ready to retire from this stuff.
I am actually going to start putting $10 plays on his parlays. Like, just to see. Just to see. Like, and give him his Nintendo Switch he wants.
There you go. Bribe his ass. Yeah. Let's talk about your super contest real quick.
Yeah, last week wasn't all that bad. So in the last, it's been 5 weeks. I haven't had a week where I've been at least 3 wins or better out of 5. So it was 3 week 1, 4 week 2, 3.5 week 3, 5 last week, and then 3 this past week. Kind of overthought it a little bit, which is a cardinal sin that a lot of people make. Last week, Seahawks let me down, missed that one. And then I had switched to the Dolphins because I was just overthinking. And the Dolphins, obviously Teddy Bridgewater got hurt. That let me down. Browns covered for me, even though they didn't win. Patriots covered for me. I think the Patriots were my second favorite that I took because I usually been hanging around the dogs. But I had the Niners in at one point, took it out. Stupid. Had the Cowboys in. Loved the Cowboys, actually. Even bet the money line outright and still took them out my super contest. Take one as well. And the Bengals covered and didn't win, too. But I have made a living on the plus 3.5. I don't know if a lot of people have been keeping track of that. I know there's a guy in my chat who has not bet the hook or bought the hook in 6 straight games, and he's lost all 6 games. So it is kind of like, I know that sometimes it's not that much of a difference. And I think there's some data out there that people have that tell you like, oh, the percentage is this. But look, if you're losing consistently by not betting the line down half a point, just eat the juice and bet the line down half a point. I mean, worst case scenario, you push. Because if that's literally the difference between winning and losing is half a point, I think after like two times, I'm going to go ahead and make that adjustment.
What's the definition of insanity, man?
Yeah, I know. But I get it. You want, like, some people, and it's not him, but, like, sometimes we fall in love with value. Like, we want the value. So if I'm getting plus 110 instead of minus 145, some people would rather go with the plus 110 than the minus 145. But at the end of the day, if you're losing on the plus 110 and you're winning, maybe 55, 60 cents less, on the minus 145, it's still a win, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I have those issues sometimes when I think I'm a wise guy. It's mostly on college basketball, which I take too seriously. but I get it. So you just have to be more self-aware, make that adjustment. And again, NFL is the strictest capping like sport in gambling, I'm pretty sure. I bet everything at this point, and I don't think I've seen any lines tightly capped like NFL, except for playoff baseball this year, which has been abnormally tight.
Well, we both went under 500 last week with our picks. Yep. Not too surprising, considering we're picking every game. 6-7-2, 5-8-2, so not bad. Again, when you're picking every game, and about half of them we're begrudgingly giving a play. But getting into this week, man, if you thought last Thursday game was bad, boy, do I have something for you. The Washington Communists are at the Chicago Bears, and even Vegas doesn't know, my friend Alan. It is even. I can't bet on Washington right now, especially after what Ron Rivera just said publicly, that, you know, they asked him, why is this team not winning? He just basically threw Carson Wentz under the bus, which I understand. It was not like they're great in a lot of other places. I just think Fields does enough, but if I'm not having to give up any points with the home team, I'm going to take the Bears.
Who's the GM for the Washington Commandos? I got to wonder. Just feel like Ron Rivera hasn't gotten any guy that he really wants at quarterback, and he's kind of old school. I mean, he's right and he's wrong. I think the difference is talent more so, but specifically at the quarterback position. But the Giants don't have a great quarterback, and they find a way to win games. You know,
Falcons don't.
Yeah. And so I don't know. I mean, Cooper Rush is playing better than Carson Wentz. I don't know if anybody would have picked Cooper Rush over Carson Wentz when they came out of college and stuff. So some of that is just development of talent and just execution of the game plan. And I think the Commandos don't have a lot of those things in place. I've been quite critical of the organization, quite critical of the fans, and I live close to the fans. They are the most annoying people in all the land, and I literally kick my feet in glee when I see any DC team losing, because the entire city doesn't deserve to win. So it's perfectly fine that they keep losing. You got a short week. The Bears are not the most talented team. If you look at strength on strength, Washington's strength on defense is their run defense. The Bears' strength on offense is their rushing offense. But if you look at the quarterback position, Justin Fields isn't necessarily – he's not going to turn the ball over a lot. And he can make plays with his feet. The sloppier the game – and this is going back to week one – but the sloppier the game, the more likely the Bears are to find a way to win. And I've heard some folks say, you know, it's basically a pick 'em, and you can go either way with either team. So I'm going to go ahead and say that I'll take the home team in this particular case.
Short rest. I like it.
Yeah.
The 1 o'clock slate, my undefeated Atlanta Falcons. Oh, wait a minute. We're 2-3, but we are undefeated against the spread. Mm-hmm. Are hosting your boys, the San Francisco 49ers. The Niners are giving 5.5, and I don't like this as a money line bet because I just don't see the Falcons being able to beat the 49ers, but I do think they find a way to cover that number. Give me the Falcons and the points.
I mean, Jimmy G's quarterback, you got a chance to cover. Like, he's a punk. I guess it's not a homer pick. Like, so yes, the Falcons are undefeated against the spread. A little tidbit here. So are the Niners on these back-to-back East Coast games. They are 4-0 against the spread in these scenarios. And I think I might have hinted to this with you, or maybe it was Joe. But the Niners have a unique way of getting ready for the East Coast swing. And under
you told me they travel early.
Yeah, they travel early. They stick together. They basically have a hub like in like West Virginia or something like that, somewhere that's in between the Northeast and the Southeast. So when they do actually travel to these locations, it's not really grueling on their body. So they're a lot more fresher than you would expect from a West Coast team. One of the issues, though, is that they're injured on offensive line and now the defensive side of the ball. Bosa's nursing a groin injury. Who knows if he plays? And if he does play, like, he's literally the anchor of our defensive pass rush. And also just in general, our defensive presence. Like, he's a big deal. You guys are not going to come out and fire the ball through the air or anything like that. But if it becomes a physical game and we're lacking some physical presence up front, I think that can be an issue. So I would wait a little. If I'm a Falcons fan, or I'm looking to back the Falcons, I would wait a little to see, because I can tell you publicly, the Niners are getting a lot more play. So you will probably more than likely get more points later on, even if it's just a half a point. You can get 6 and then buy it up to 6.5 or something like that. But I would just wait maybe a couple more days to see how that line plays out. At 5.5, I would love to say Niners. But I'm just wary of Jimmy G, man. He's turnover prone. He's not that consistent. And this could be one of those games like last week where we're like, oh, Jimmy's back, you know, like he has that good game. But I'm just not willing to back it just yet, especially with us having injuries on defense.
And my Falcons have actually been decent against the run this year, which is, you know, obviously hopefully going to make Jimmy throw more. So other than Taysom Hill, who ran all over us, but that doesn't count.
I have yet to figure out why people can't stop that.
I can't either. And it draws me crazy for both DFS and fantasy that this guy's freaking tight end scoring 30 points a game about every 3 weeks. And I guess you could call it a revenge game. The Cleveland Browns going to New England. Cleveland is giving 3 points, which honestly, I'm kind of shocked about. I think the Patriots have really figured out.
The Patriots are on the road.
Oh, it's the other way around. That makes more sense then. Okay. Yeah. Thank God. I was like, why are they getting points? Okay. So that makes a lot more sense. Excuse me. The Patriots are going to Cleveland. The Browns are giving 3. Tyrod is a serviceable quarterback. But the bottom line is he has thrown a pick in the last 2 minutes in every one of their losses.
You mean Jacoby?
What did I say?
You said Tyrod.
Oh, my God.
That's fine.
Sorry to Jacoby Brissett, I mean. Yeah. Jacoby.
Tyrod, actually.
I think Jacoby's okay. I can't trust this Browns team. I want to. I mean, you could make an argument. They could legit be 5-0 right now. And I know this is a big game for him, but, I mean, don't look now. The Patriots with another win. Jones getting healthy. They're going to be back in the playoff hunt because the AFC is not as strong as we thought it was. I'm going to take the points here. I just think Belichick finds a way. He does really well against quarterbacks who are limited, finding a way to suss out those weaknesses. And I think they're, you know, what do they always do? They take away your strength, meaning that they're going to make it difficult for them to run the football and make Jacoby beat them. So I'm going to take the points with the Pats. It's not as much of a slam dunk as I thought it was when I thought this game was in New England.
So a couple things. One, don't disrespect Zappy like that and be talking about Matt Jones when Zappy's clearly that guy. I know it takes a while for everybody else to catch up, so I'm going to let you guys in on a little bit of information I got. Insider info from Western Kentucky. Your boy Zappy is nice, okay? Nice in the way that, like, he's like a modern-day Chad Pennington, okay? I'm just letting you know right now. Because his arm strength is definitely lacking. look, Bill hates the Browns for obvious reasons. We all know the story. And on top of that, I would never, unless his name was Tom Brady, bet against Bill Belichick or a former Bill Belichick quarterback. Because I would, I mean, if in Jimmy G's case, we were so talented, we would be so talented that we would probably just beat the Patriots outright because of talent. But I don't know if you could say this Browns team without Deshaun Watson is talented enough to outright beat the Patriots right now. And having that disadvantage of literally probably years and years of intel on Jacoby, because he used to be, he was actually white in New England, you know? So that would be an issue. Stopping the run is, to me, for somebody like Bill, who's old school anyway, that's probably like the easiest thing you could do. I would imagine he has more issues with like spread offenses and things like that than just the ground and pound type game. So the Titans and the Browns and hell, even like the creativity of the Niners might give him fits. But when he played the Rams and they were a good running team, he shut that shit down too. He just went up against a team that had the number one offense in the league. And regardless of what we think, they were the number one offense in the league, and he blanked them. I would once again say that he's probably got a game plan considering how easy they won last week. He was probably working on it at halftime. So I laid my points with the Patriots. Zappy showed me something in the Packers game. And obviously, me being a fan, I went with it in the game last week when they were 3-point favorites. I think this week is a week that we need to really ask questions like you asked last week. Like, what has this team done to be favored in this position? You asked that about the Packers. I'm going to ask that about the Packers again when we get to that game, because I think you were spot on. But this week is definitely a week that I would ask that, and that's what I ask about the Browns. Like, what have they done to be favored by 3 against the Patriots team that's actually in a good spot?
Completely agree. Speaking of those Packers, the New York Jets, who I can't believe I'm saying this, are 3-2 through 5 weeks, are going to Green Bay. Green Bay is giving 7 points. And just real quickly, I said it last week, I'm going to remind you again, I think this Packers defense is not very good. Obviously, we know the offense is having struggles with, you know, just losing Devontae Adams. But last 2 weeks, third-string rookie quarterback put up 24 on them. This last week, the Giants in London, without Barkley for about a quarter, put up 27 on them. Jets are frisky, man. Like, I like what they're doing on offense. They're starting to unleash Breece Hall. He had by far his best game as a pro. There's no way I'm giving 7 points with this Packers team. The only way I actually see them covering this is if they get like a pick. The defense does have a defensive touchdown or a special teams touchdown, but I can't believe it. And I know the Jets D is not good. Don't get me wrong. I get that, but I think they'll be able to put up enough points to cover the spread.
Yeah. We didn't factor in the London travel.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, well, I guess the Saints kind of, because I paused because I was thinking about it, but the Saints did cover, and they had just came from London. But did the Vikings cover too? Did they win by 8? I can't remember the score. Let me double check that, because I'm just like, we're getting a little bit more data on London travel. I think some of it is just you kind of have to take it at face value.
They did not.
They did not cover?
Nope, not those 8. Yeah. They won by 7.
Okay. I think that line might have ended. Yep, it was 8.5. So yeah, they didn't cover. That's what it closed at. All right. It's kind of corny, but Packers are pretty much the same travel distance as the Vikings. They didn't look good. They just blew a game. Yes, they probably will be refocused, but this Jets defense is talented, man. I was talking to somebody in the group about it. I was talking about C.J. Mosley on the podcast or the morning show. I love Sauce Gardner. Me and Joe had a battle in preseason, like before the draft, actually. And I was trying to find it, but he chose Stingley. I chose Sauce. I said there was not much of a difference between the two of them because Stingley is a natural talent, amazing talent. But I thought Sauce was more physical, and I thought that he played the style of DB that you need in today's game, that he's willing to take the risk of getting a 15-yard penalty or PI just to kind of set the tone. And he's got great ball skills for a rookie and his shadowing of receivers. is probably second to none, and that's coming in as a rookie. I mean, you really have to, like, Google it and, like, look at clips of him, like, shadowing guys in man-to-man. It's fucking amazing. Like, I haven't seen anybody, and I know I'm hyping up a rookie, but, like, literally, I have not seen a DB with this kind of talent since Jalen Ramsey came out, and we know how Jalen Ramsey was his first couple years in the league, too. So I think they've got the defense to give the Packers fits. Packers are still doing stupid things like averaging 6 yards a carry and then passing the ball on third and two and fourth and two. So let me get the Jets to cover. I would love to see this line go up to 7.5, but I don't think we're going to get more than a touchdown here. And it should come down to 3 or 4 points anyway.
All right, this next game, I'm not going to lie. I have no idea. Jaguars are
Wait, real quick. Just for the record. I put the Patriots and the Jets right now are in my super contest so people can kind of see which games I really like.
Sure.
I'm probably going to lead the Jets, and I'm definitely going to lead the Patriots. So those are two dogs that I've got. And again, I'm pretty dog heavy on my super contest. But if I'm overall like 45-47% when we pick all 16 games, I am well over 65% for my super contest. So those are the picks that if I highlight those picks, those are the ones that you might want to tail.
All right, the next game, which, again, I have no idea. The Jags are going to Indy. I know Indy has had terrible problems with Jacksonville in the past. Indy is giving 2 points. I don't know if this Colts team is just, like, the luckiest team in the league. For them to be 2-2-1 is kind of insane right now. But, man, the Jaguars have not looked good the last 2 weeks. I still think that the Jaguars are going to give the Colts a lot of issues, particularly with that pass rush, which Indy's offensive line has really struggled. Matt Ryan is just getting, I mean, he's got to be wondering, like, I left Atlanta to get beat up like this. Could have done that in Atlanta. Again, it would not surprise me either way, but when I think two teams are pretty even, I'm going to take the points. I'll take the Jags and the 2 points.
Are they pretty even? Because I don't know what Jacksonville team I'm getting now, which sucks. Because after they, all right, so I was happy because they already beat the Colts anyway. They beat them 24-0 back in September on the 18th, which was fantastic. That was the start of me really thinking like, how good is this team? Because I will be honest, I gave the Jags a chance in Week 1 as a 3-point dog to the Commandos, and they lost. Then I came back as a 3-point dog at home to the Colts, and they dominated them. And then I gave plenty of room for them. I took a money line, and I had them as a touchdown dog to the Chargers. They did great. And then I said that the Philly game I would lay off because it just seemed like a situational spot that they would lose anyway, coming off the win against the Chargers and so forth. And they come out, they come back out to the East Coast. They get a tough team in Philly. They come out 14-0 looking good, and then they blow it, which is fine. Like I said, I expected that. I can't overlook that they should have absolutely obliterated the Texans, and they did not. Not only did they not obliterate the Texans, but they actually lost by a touchdown. And they struggled to score at home against the Texans. There's no rain. There's no excuses. Like, this is a divisional game. You're at home. Like, you got to win that. Even if you don't cover, you got to win it at least. So coming into Indy as like as under a field goal, it means that you're telling me that the Jags are better than the Colts, and I just don't know if they are. I just don't know at this point, just based off of those last couple games. I mean, yes, Indy has not been good, but they are a team that I feel like they're talented enough that when it finally does click, they can cover a 2.5 spread against the Jags. I'm going to fade Jacksonville. I don't like where they're hit it right now. I'm a little disappointed. And so I'm not willing to give them any more backing until they show me that they're going to be consistent. Because it's a young team. So I expected some issues. Last week might really be just a hiccup. But if I'm going to play them this week against the Colts, who will be very revenge-minded, I would rather just lay my points if it's under a field goal.
All right, next game, Vikings at Dolphins. Minnesota is giving 3. I'm going back to the well of taking a team that's the underdog who I don't know who their quarterback's going to be.
I don't know.
And And I actually like the money line here. I think the Vikings are the most overrated team in football right now. They are 4-1. Their victories, other than the game against Green Bay, which we've seen Green Bay is not what everybody thought they were when they won that game. Chicago, Detroit, and New Orleans, two of those three games were very close. And I just think even if Miami has to go with what was the white dude's name that they ended up bringing in?
Thompson, bro.
Yeah, Thompson. I think they're going to be able to do enough to get this W, because I do like Miami's defense. And I think that the fact that they kind of hung around in the game Sunday shows that, especially when it's just a shock of, you know, you're like, okay, we're going with Teddy. And then he literally gets knocked out on his first passing attempt. So I'm going to take the Dolphins and the points.
I didn't know who the Giants quarterback was going to be. I actually know who Skylar Thompson is, though. Kansas State alum. Got a little giddy up in his step too. He can run a little bit. I'm not sure if I want to lay the points, but I'm with you. The Vikings are not a good team against the number. They might be this year's Titans, where they find a way to win games, but they just don't cover any of the games, which makes me think that, like you said, they're probably one of the luckiest teams. It just happens that they just catch people at the right time. But Skylar Thompson is talented enough that he could keep it close. I'm just not sure that he will. But in the same breath with Cooper Rush, who got pulled into the middle of a game, it's a lot easier when you've had that week to prep and you know you're going to start. So give me 3.5 with the Dolphins. Not 3. One other thing to keep in mind, this Dolphins defense is pretty solid.
Yep.
Pretty solid. And they play a lot of man-to-man. And if you you can look at the stats, because I had actually posted this for somebody. But they play a very high percentage of man-to-man. Actually, if you look, week 4, the Dolphins played man-to-man 56.8% of the time. In week 3, they played 42.5% of the time in man coverage. Week 2 was 73.5%. Who'd they play week 2? Was it? I forgot who they played.
They played the Eagles.
They played the Eagles? Okay.
Talking about the Vikings? Yeah.
No, I'm talking about the Dolphins.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Dolphins played week 2 would have been not the Bills, right?
I don't know if it was the Bills.
The Ravens. That was okay. The Ravens shootout. Yeah.
So, all right. That makes sense because they didn't respect Lamar's arm. So 73% of the time they played man-to-man coverage. I would be interested to see how much they do against the Vikings, but I like teams like that defensively because it generates turnovers. It creates pressures. They've got decent corners and they've got a pretty good unit up front as well. So if Skyler doesn't turn the ball over, I can see them covering here.
Next up, we've got the Cincinnati Bengals once again in a must-win situation going to New Orleans. Cincy is laying 1.5. I mean, we may get the Dalton revenge game potentially here if Jameis is not back. But I think this is very similar to what happened to Cincy in week 3 versus the Jets team, again on the road. They've got to get right. They have to win this game. I believe they will, especially if Mixon does not pre-read or pre-give the defense, whether it's a pass or run play, by the way he stands when they're in shotgun. I mean, it's pretty bad when Twitter is pointing that out. Did you see that? That he's either, if he stands up straight, it would be a run play. If he would, like, lean over on his hips, it would be a pass play. And, I mean, it was. Like, once it was pointed out, like, early in the game, I noticed it as well. So, but I still believe in the Cincy team. I probably shouldn't, but I think they're going to be okay. I think they win this game pretty easily.
No, I didn't see that. I can tell you what's wrong with Cincinnati is their coach. And the fact that they literally, I guess can I rant a little bit?
Yeah.
If you're a fucking professional quarterback, and I get it, I'm not a pro quarterback. I'm sitting at home, I'm gambling, I'm just some Tuesday morning quarterback or something like that, blah, 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 blah. Listen, bro, if you are at the highest level of football, I don't want to fucking hear you complain about people playing two deep safety looks on you, not allowing you to throw the ball down the field. Like, you sound like Devin Booker complaining about getting double teamed in pickup. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Like, for Burrow to even bring that up and admit that out loud annoyed me. If I was his coach, I'd have cussed him out and told him, don't you ever in your life say anything like that again and give people, like, motivation to keep giving you those fucking looks. Part of the issue with the Bengals is they don't take what people give them, which is what bothered the Chiefs last year. It's just the process, man. If people see you doing stuff and getting off these big plays, they're just gonna go to a generic two safety look with fucking 7-8 people in coverage and rush the 3 or 4 that they got up front and dare you to take what they give you. And if you're, like, cocky enough or stubborn enough to not do that, you're going to get hit a lot. You're going to look out of sync. You're going to look like everybody's going to ask, what happened to the top 5 offense that we're used to seeing? Throw the fucking ball to Mixon. Throw the ball to Boyd. Give Jamar Chase. He can work underneath too. Allow these playmakers to make plays. And with that being said, the Bengals should be way more than a 2-point favorite against the fucking Saints with Andy Dalton. And I know I'm cussing a lot, but this angers me. It angers me as a watcher of film and as somebody that's like, why would you set this trap for me, Vegas? And you know I'm going to walk right into it. The only thing that scares me is the Saints pass rush is really good. It could set up a scenario where the Saints pass rush can do what the Cowboys did to the Rams, what the Niners did to the Rams as well, because teams with bad offensive lines. What the
Cowboys did to the Bengals.
Yeah, and what the Cowboys did to the Bengals, yeah, with bad offensive lines can have issues scoring points at times. One other thing that I like, though, is that the Bengals defense is actually better than every time I say this, I jinx them. So let me bring that back. I think the Bengals defense can match up well. That might be jinxing too. With the variations of Taysom Hill runs and so forth. Like, I think their run defense is okay. Lamar Jackson the week before and Taysom Hill the week after, I think, is kind of like the idea of facing a triple option team and getting another triple option team. Like, it's kind of the same look you're going to get as far as, like, the usage of that particular player. So I think that sets up well. But, dude, the Saints, 2-point dog to the Bengals, man, come on. If you would have said this at the beginning of the season, we would have laughed at somebody's face. We really would have. This is a good team. They're talented. They should win this game by at least a field goal. And even then, I'd be disappointed if it's not like 8 or 9.
One other thing that I looked up for DFS last year, Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase in domes. Just saying. If you're doing DFS lineups, I like both of them this week.
Oh, this is a homecoming for them.
Yep.
This is one of my plays in my super contest.
All right. The Ravens are going to the New York football Giants.
The balls.
The Ravens are giving 5.5. I'm going to stick with the Giants. I just 5.5 points. I said it last week. This team really knows their identity. They know how to stay in games and then try to find a way to win it. I think that they're going to find a way to cover this number. I don't think they can beat the Ravens. I told Joe that this week. I was on the record saying this was the surprise team in the NFC to make the playoffs before the season started. Even Joe looked at me funny. It was their schedule was the main reason. Obviously, this is not one of the easier games on their schedule. But I do think that they can, you know, cover some of it. Obviously, I'd move it to 6, but I like the Giants to cover.
I was hesitant because of the travel back. And then, obviously, last week was a very big win for them. But you know what? I like watching the Giants. I like what I see. I feel like it's a team that believes, which goes a long way when you don't have the necessary talent to be what you are record-wise, but you have that belief and you're playing to your strengths and you're not quitting. Because they were down, what, 2 scores against the Packers and fought back?
Yep.
And they've got an aggressive-ass coach. And regardless of what Joe might think about Staley, the ball is exactly what, like, he's the coach. He's my Staley, basically, at this point, which is funny because I slandered the Giants at the beginning of the season. But damn it, I'm a believer, man. And anybody that's aggressive like that, absolutely love. The Ravens have done nothing for me to be confident in them covering spreads of any kind. They could get up 21 in the third quarter, and I still would probably think that I could get the cover because they just cannot close the game out to save their damn life. I hate that the Giants don't have many passing weapons right now because everybody's hurt. But shit, they just beat the Packers. I don't know why they can't cover the number at home. They will be hyped.
Yeah, that crowd's gonna be rocking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was gonna say crowd wise, they'll be hyped for this game. And then I feel like the ball should have some good intel on Lamar, having been in Buffalo and played him a couple times as well.
Next game, Bucks at Steelers. Tampa Bay is giving 8 points. If TJ Watt was playing, I could probably see myself taking the Steelers, taking the points. Since I don't, the Steelers have gotten smoked in the passing game this year. I mean, just absolutely worked week after week. It doesn't matter who it is, Zach Wilson, Jacoby Brissett, whoever. So I think the Bucks are slowly starting to get right. Give me the Bucks. I'll give the points.
Yeah, I'm not betting the Steelers, man. They're no bet for me. If I ever find myself leaning to betting the Steelers, it'll be no bet. I didn't even take the 14 last week, which is wild to me. There's so many people that I like respect their opinion, and they were like, 14 is too much. But I'm like, this is Pickett's first start, and this defense is like disruptive.
And the Bills like to run it up, which is something we talked about last week. Is the Bills are not afraid to put it up.
Sorry, teams.
Yep.
I still don't think the Bucks are that good either, but they should do enough to cover this number.
Boy, the 4 p.m. slate, one good game, two. First two, we got the Panthers at the Rams. The Rams are giving 10.5. I'm sorry, from what I've seen from this Rams, that's too big of a number. I know the Panthers are going to be starting Walker. I don't really care. Maybe I'll be wrong, but 10.5 is a lot of points. Give me the road dog.
I got PJ Walker. It cracks me up every time I see him because I was the only person watching American Alliance football, I'm pretty sure. They used to make fun of me in the group for it because I was like hyping it up. But PJ Walker was going to be the MVP, but COVID shut the season down. He's got some starts under his belt. Not that great. He's got NFL experience. It just hasn't been that great. It hasn't translated. But fun fact, a lot of times when teams fire their coach, the next game they come out super fired up and they do well and cover the number. It's entirely too big of a number for anybody to be laying on the damn Rams, who still are facing a team with a good pass rush and a good front, and they don't have much on the offensive line. I have put this as a maybe play. I might add that to my super contest. If I don't add to my super contest, I'm definitely looking to lay the points. 10.5 for sure. 10.5 for sure. I'm just not sure I'm going to put it in my super contest.
All right, the next poo-poo platter for the afternoon games, we got the Cardinals going to Seattle. Arizona is giving 3 points. It's another one I don't totally understand. I don't think the Cardinals are very good. I'm not saying I think the Seahawks are, but the Seahawks offense is good. With the home field, give me the home dog. I mean, Geno has played great this year. The Seahawks offense has just – it's been shocking. I'm interested to see what Kenneth Walker can do now that he's going to be the lead back. Like I said, I'll take the Seahawks and take the points.
It's an iffy game for me. Cardinals typically do well against Seattle. Seattle's defense is so bad too, man. Like,
mm-hmm. No, it is. But the Cardinals ain't great either.
Yeah, I know the Cardinals isn't great, but man, they can come up with a stop every now and then. I have seen them get stopped. I don't think I've seen Seattle get a stop yet. they just gave up. What'd they give up, like 38
to the Saints with the Red Rocket.
Yeah, who probably threw the ball less than 20 times. Cardinals got to get right, man. Division game in a situation where I feel like they usually do good. As long as it's under 3, I'll take it. Three and under. I don't want any, you know, I want anything with 3.5 with these dudes, man. So, yeah.
Good news is, though, the 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock games, well done, NFL. I'm just going to be livid if I don't get the Bills-Chiefs game. This is a shocking line to me, Alan. Bills at Chiefs, Buffalo giving 3 points. So that's Vegas saying the Bills are 6 points better than the Chiefs, correct?
Yeah, I think that's Vegas saying that they're scared to put the Bills as dogs because they would get so much action, which is fine for me.
Why not make it a pick 'em then?
Because they would still get too much action, I think. They're also overcorrecting for that 1 point game against the Raiders as well. And then over exaggerating the big win for the Bills last week. I will never forget that the Bills, I want to say, they blew out like the Texans or Redskins then at some point. Like they had two back-to-back games. They just blew everybody out. And they went to Minnesota to play as a 16-point favorite. Against like a sorry Vikings team, man, and they ended up losing, and it still was like to me one of the most shocking games. I didn't bet it, but it's just one of the most shocking results I'd seen in a long time. And every time I see them blow somebody out at home and then travel west, I always keep that in the back of my mind, and I just cannot play them on that first game. And it just so happens that I think the Chiefs are a good damn team. And I feel like they know their identity even without Tyreek Hill. And the Bills still have, like, a lot of questions in their running game and in their secondary that's still banged up. I don't know why they – I don't understand the line. I really don't. But I had it at 2.5, and it went up to 3, and I took the 2.5 off and went and got my 3, too. So, I'm all over the Chiefs, man. I'm going to take the Chiefs money line. They are in my super
contest.
That's
what I was going to ask you. Plus 126. You like – is that the right play, you think, if you're going to take the Chiefs?
Yeah, if you're going to – look, if this game is going to come down to who's got the ball last probably again, and I will still want Patrick Mahomes. I don't have any concerns with taking my points with the Chiefs. And since I'm taking points with the Chiefs and you're giving me points with arguably the best team in the league right now still – I just watched them play a shitty game against the Raiders and win outright still, even though they didn't cover the number. I will gladly take them as dogs.
Yeah, I'm with you. I seriously was excited to talk to you about this game because I don't understand it. It just, to me, again, Buffalo, this is the kind of game I need to see from them. Like, go out and prove it. If you're the best team in the NFL, I need you to go beat the Chiefs. And if you do, then we'll have a totally different conversation moving forward. But I think it's extremely disrespectful to the Chiefs who have had their number to, you know, having this situation. So I'm with you. I like the money line. Sunday night game, the Cowboys, winners of 4 straight, go to Philly, the only undefeated team. Philly is giving 5. I believe in this Cowboys team. I think they are one of the most talented teams in the NFL, and it's their defense that is just, I mean, them boys are playing. And I think that it, as much as I have my feelings about Dan Quinn as a Falcons fan, as a head coach, he is a tremendous defensive coordinator, and he has those guys playing fast and free. And if I'm getting 5 points with two teams that – I know the quarterback is the big difference, but I also think as good as the Eagles defense is, I think the Cowboys defense is that much better. I think they're going to be able to make Hurts uncomfortable, move him to the directions he doesn't like going, which is to his left. And again, I'll take 5 points when I get it, when I think it's two teams that are fairly evenly matched.
Yeah, look, the NFC East games don't typically, even when the teams are drastically different, rivalry-wise, they don't usually end up in more than, like, 3 or 4 points. They're always, like, chaos. So, yeah, give me my points with the Cowboys. I was in at 5 here. I got plus 5. It went down to 4.5 on my bookie, but I got in early.
No, we're taking the 5. Yeah, we got the 5. Okay. Last game, Monday night, Broncos at Chargers in the game of two coaches that just make head scratching decisions on a regular basis. Vegas did a wonderful job with this line. The Chargers are giving 5. I would stay the fuck away from this game. But if I had to take a pick, give me the Chargers. I really think the Broncos losing Javonte Williams is going to be a death blow to their season. I think he was such a difference maker. And what I like to see out of the Chargers the last couple of weeks is they are starting to throw the ball to Eckler a lot. It looks like Keenan Allen will be back this week. I still think the Chargers are going to end up having one of the best offenses in football. And unless the Broncos D just plays their ass off, I just don't think the Broncos can score points. So I'll take the Chargers, give the points in a week that I've got a ton of dogs, but I'm going to take a favor here.
Broncos country. Let's ride.
Yeah, right. I mean,
God, man, that should have spelled doom right there just because of how quick it took off as a meme. How healthy are the Chargers?
Oh, they're not healthy.
Yeah, so I honestly don't mind taking a shot at laying my points with the Broncos just because, like, I feel like they make games so ugly that you just like 5 is probably as much as it's going to get scored in this game.
So. Can we all agree that 4 primetime games in the first 5 weeks of this Broncos team has been way too much?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Absolutely. But yeah, so I'm leaning to the Broncos points. I think their defense is really good. And that's an understatement, but I think they're talented enough to continue to keep this team competitive, which is why they've been in games, because they're offensively, they haven't done crap. But I expect Russell Wilson to figure it out at some point. I'm trying to keep the faith because he's still got Hamler and Judy and Sutton. So it's not like they're lacking in talent. He's just got to throw the damn ball. So so hopefully they figure it out, and hopefully they figure it out this week. I had them originally, Broncos +5. Like, I know I'm a madman, but I had it originally in my pick'em. And then I thought to myself, let me take it out and just hold on, because I'm pretty sure nobody except for Russell and Sierra are betting the Broncos. So there's no rush to take this line. And if worst case scenario, if I felt the need to be crazy in my, like, throwaway lineup, I might throw them in there.
Yeah, I think that's a good decision. Yeah. I still can't believe the game that we watched last Thursday. Yeah. All right. We made it through week 6. Anything else you want to say before we get out of here?
Yeah, NFL coaches are trash. stop allowing them to convince you that because they coach in the NFL that they're smart. Everybody who has ever applied analytics in the last 3 weeks in the NFL probably has never looked at a book or read anything about probabilities and what that means, and variances in the probabilities and what that means. So to keep it simple, because I'm not a nerd like Joe, but I know a little bit about these things, and I will tell you, baseball, for example, the probability of Yordan Alvarez hitting a home run and beating you is probably 65% to 70%, given that you're pitching a guy like Robbie Ray, who throws fastballs, against a guy who is career 333 against Robbie Ray, and also career 312 against left-handed pitching, and arguably was in the running for MVP until he got hurt this year. So if you walk him with the open base, your percentage of winning and losing is probably less than 7% difference there. Like, you're better off just walking him and taking your chance rather than pitching to him, because if you pitch to him, that percentage probably goes up to like 15-20% more that you're going to lose. The NFL, a lot of these coaches will tell you they're using analytics, and I know I'm going on a rant, but I just want to explain to everybody. A lot of these people are telling you that they're using analytics for their play calling, but what you're not being told is that some of these decisions are not changing the outcomes of the game in a way that warrants you to make that risk. Like, if it's a 5-7% difference in you winning and losing, just make the easier call. Kick the fucking field goal.
And also, it's okay to look at the situation in the game that's ongoing. Like, in the Broncos-Colts game, when nobody's scoring any fucking points, take the points. Even if it is slightly less of a percentage of technically winning the game at that point, you take the points.
So, with that being said, continue to follow the dogs until people start doing what they're supposed to do. Because I'm telling you right now, my son, my five-year-old, took every goddamn dog. He took five dogs. Five out of his six picks were dogs. And I'm pretty sure he don't know what the hell he's doing. But still, that just goes to show you, like, you have a higher percentage of winning. The majority of his picks have been dogs in the last 2 weeks. And I haven't been, like, following it. I've tried to pick dogs as well because from watching the games, watching Red Zone, looking at the way people are calling games and stuff, you're just better off being on the plus 3.5 or that line where it's like more than one touchdown or something because the decisions these coaches are making and the damn flags that get tossed in the game.
Eight games decided by 6 points or less last week.
You're better off just taking your points. So I'd say all that just to say don't be afraid to, once again this week, take your points. Unless you're doing the Bengals-Saints game, you better not fade me.
And actually, if you're doing 7 points, 10 games were decided by a touchdown, 7 points or less last week. So I'm with you. I took a bunch of dogs this week. We'll see how we do. But Alan, as always, enjoyed it. Joey's still dead to me for that Falcons-Lions comment. And we'll see you guys soon. Comes the money.
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money talk.
Here comes the money. comes the money.
Here we go. Money talk.
Here comes the money.